we can derive doctrine. So don't try and judge my doctrine by explicit scriptural references. Bible's not a textbook.
Bible is a guidance for you?
It can act as a textbook, but it's mostly given in narrative, and it talks about what God did through people's lives. We are people. If we are to interact with God, we need to know what he will do in our lives.
Okay.
And that's most of the Bible is narrative.
Is the Bible from God?
Yes.
Does God want you to have salvation?
Yes.
Can you have salvation without the belief in Trinity?
Oh, good question. I don't know.
So can someone be a Christian without believing the Trinity?
Probably in God's grace, yes. And they wouldn't necessarily... I don't think they'd be...
Are the Jehovah's Witnesses...
No.
See what I mean?
I have lots of problems.
The Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in the Trinity. Are they saved like you? Do they have? Will they have salvation? Are they even Christians according to you?
According to me, if they hold to their doctrine, the teaching of the JW Watchtower, no, that will not save a person.
Right. So once again, I ask you the question.
Yeah.
Is someone who does not believe that the Son, the Spirit, and the Father is God, will they be saved?
That is not the essence of salvation. The essence of salvation is turning to Jesus as a sinner, casting yourself upon his mercy, and being born again by his Holy Spirit.
Do you have to acknowledge Jesus as God in that doctrine which you just said?
You don't necessarily, because I'll answer why. Okay. So you don't necessarily...
So you don't even have to acknowledge him as God?
No. You don't have to get all of your theology right.
Not theology. I'm just asking one thing.
Yeah.
Do you have to acknowledge when you're saying that Jesus paid for your sins? Do you have to acknowledge that he's your God or not?
Well, if I'm going to get my letter, if I write a letter to my friend, I want it to go to him. I've just got to write the right address on it. Okay. If I write the right address on it and include the right stamp, it will go to my friend, I trust.
Yeah.
And if the Jesus that people cast themselves upon is the true Jesus, the Trinitarian Jesus.
Trinitarian Jesus?
Well, yeah.
Careful with your words.
Well, whatever.
You mean Trinitarian God, not Jesus.
The point being, the major point being, if they trust in the true Jesus, whether or not they know he is part of the Trinitarian Godhead, if it's that Jesus they trust in, they will be saved.
So why are you rejecting the Jehovah's Witnesses? Because they do trust in Jesus.
They do.
They believe in his crucifixion. Believe that your sins will be washed away by his crucifixion. Everything exactly to the letter what you just said. That letter should reach God.
I spoke to a Jehovah's Witness yesterday. Okay, he had a top on. It said, God loves you, right?
Yeah.
So I thought, maybe he's a Christian. I'll go and be his best mate. I'll still be his best mate anyway. But I went to speak to him. And I just wanted to ask him one question, which is the question that I most want to ask any person, is how do you believe that you are saved? How do you believe that you are made right with God? And he said, door knocking, right? So if we simplify that, Jehovah's Witness door knocking, going and talking about Jehovah, they talk about a party or whatever it is that they do.
I'm asking about his belief.
Yeah, his belief.
In Jesus.
His belief was that because Jesus did evangelism,
yes,
he thought, well, if I go and do evangelism like Jesus, the evangelism that I am doing will save me. That was his theology. He basically...
No. I think you're missing the point that I'm trying to make here. The point I'm making is that your belief in the crucifixion of Jesus is paramount to... is a central doctrine for you, yeah? The crucifixion.
Yeah, if there's no crucifixion. Do the Jehovah's Witnesses
believe that or not? The crucifixion.
Not entirely. They don't believe it's sufficient. Honestly, this guy, especially I spoke to yesterday, they don't believe it's sufficient for salvation.
Okay. What does that mean?
So thief on the cross is a great example to speak about with Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
So thief on the cross did no good works. Yeah, he died as a thief. He realized that his death was just. Right? I don't know if he was a thief or a murderer. Right, but he was on the cross next to Jesus.
Yeah.
One of the people dying next to Jesus, insulted Jesus and said, "Oh, save yourself if you're truly God." He didn't believe in Jesus as God. The other one said, "Look, our punishment is just. The punishment that's on Jesus is not just. He was an innocent man." He turns to Jesus and said, "Jesus, tonight will you remember me when you're in heaven?"
Yeah.
And Jesus says to him, You are saved. Surely I will see you tonight.
In
heaven.
In heaven.
Yeah?
But Jesus doesn't go to heaven that night.
But, okay, well, the point being, that guy did no good works. He did no good works, and yet God is so merciful, Jesus is so merciful, that because he turned to Jesus with his dying breath, he was saved. Now, this isn't a good way, you know, don't leave it till the last minute, please, if you're hearing me, and if God is speaking to you today through me as the junior
guy. let's analyze that. In that conversation between Jesus and the thief, number one, did that thief even acknowledge Jesus as God? No. Did that thief...
No, and it's amazing. Like, he had small knowledge of Jesus.
Jamie, hear me out. I'll let you speak. Hear me out.
Right.
What I'm saying is that...
I'll speak too.
The man had faith in Jesus.
Yes.
Yes, but he did not acknowledge him as God.
He did bad theology, but he had faith in Jesus.
You're doing it again. Let me finish. What I'm saying is that he having faith in Jesus...
Yeah.
Is something that the Jehovah's Witnesses do as well.
They
have faith in Jesus. You cannot deny that. This is their belief.
No,
come
I
on.
Can't deny that.
No, you can't, because you're misrepresenting the Jehovah's Witnesses.
They have a different Bible.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
I'm not denying that. What I'm saying is that...
But they got the wrong Jesus.
There are things that which overlap in your belief and their belief. Yes?
There's many things that overlap, but consider this, right? If I wanted to lie to you, Right, I don't want to like offend anyone, but go with me here. If I said to you... I'm a black man. Okay, do you all have enough humor to go with me on this? If I said to you, I'm a black man, that's a pretty bad lie, because you can plainly see...
You're lucky no one from BLM is here.
Okay, yeah. I probably shouldn't have gone there. Right, but if I wanted to say to you, my grandfather's 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 grandfather was from Africa, you might say, well, yeah, he could be from Africa. Incidentally, I don't know. My ancestry is not that interesting to me, and I don't know. But the point is, if you want to lie, you introduce a very small lie, and you sneak it in with a great amount of truth.
Okay.
And this is what Jehovah's Witnesses have done. If it is Christ...
But I'm not asking you to analyze the JWs.
If it is
All
Christ,
I'm asking is about their belief in Jesus.
If it is Christ that saves us, if the devil wants to conspire to put something in the way of Christ saving people... All the devil would need to do is for people to follow a slightly wrong Jesus. And if it's the
actually,
wrong Jesus...
You know something?
So this is the
when
nature
you,
of
When
lying.
You say the devil or the Satan, yes? The devil or the Satan already played with you as a Christian, where you actually started to worship a man as God rather than his God.
No, I worship
God.
God
of Jesus. God. No, wait. You worship Jesus Christ as God, and you worship the Holy Spirit as God, and you worship the Father as God, as a triune God. You do not say that only the Father is God like Jesus Christ. So the devil has already played with you, my friend. If you're going to condemn the Jehovah's Witnesses, I think you should look at yourself first.
I don't condemn them. I just disagree with their wrong
No, you condemn them as being not saved, right?
Well, only Jesus can save.
No, you condemn the Jehovah's Witnesses.
I don't condemn them.
No, when I say condemn them in the sense that they are not true believers, they do not believe the God that you believe. Or they do not believe the God the way you believe. You are somehow rejecting them as a Christian, right?
The difference is Christ.
I know.
End, I don't go around...
I know.
I
know the difference is Christ. But for me,
yeah.
Christ is someone who has been rejected by the very people, yourself, who want to defend him. When Jesus says, the only true God is the Father, you say, no, it is the Trinity. When Jesus
so you
says...
believe in Christ.
Say again?
So you believe in Christ more than me?
I do believe in Christ. Of course, I'm a Muslim. We believe that he's a Messiah. I don't know if you know this.
Whoa.
Do you not know this? The Muslims believe him in the Christ.
If you believe in Christ, why are you not a Christian?
Oh, wait. That's where you're wrong. A Christian is not someone who just believes in Christ. A Christian is someone who believes Jesus as God, the Christ as God. Yes? You see, when you celebrate Christmas on the 25th December, I know that is not the real date of his birth. Yes, and I'm sure you do as well. Yes, so you're celebrating a Mass of Christ, not of his God. The most important date in your calendar is celebrating Jesus Christ's Mass, not his Father. Whereas Jesus, for him, the most important...
Easter is more important to Christians.
Even that is celebrating his death. So one is celebrating his birth, the other is celebrating, not celebrating, but...
Death and resurrection.
Considering that date of Easter as being an auspicious date. So both the dates...
Death and resurrection.
The birth and the death of Jesus is the most important dates in your calendar. However, none of those two dates relate to God Almighty. You see what I mean? He's God, the one that he recognizes as God. Jesus did not celebrate Christmas. Neither did any of his disciples or his apostles.
I'm not big on
Christmas. Neither did they celebrate Easter as being an auspicious date for them. So what I'm saying is that the dates that you celebrate even are nothing to do with Jesus' Jesus would have done in his life.
Yeah, it's not that important. Celebrating the dates is not that important to Bible-believing Christians.
Saying it's the most important thing in your life. If you're going to consider the crucifixion of Jesus, to me, that is only showing the weakness of God, that he died by his own creation.
How is that? Again.
Yeah, but that, look, the one who dies needs to rise again. And that doesn't apply to an immortal like God Almighty. It only applies to mortals like you, me, and Jesus Christ. Someone who dies is the only one who will resurrect. An immortal never dies, so there is no question of him resurrecting. So both resurrection of Jesus shows that he is not God.
But this is why I'm very relaxed.
Why?
In his humanity, Jesus has died.
In his humanity?
Yeah, but he knew that he would be resurrected. And God knew that because God knows the end from the beginning.
Okay, so when you say in his humanity,
died. I'm honestly relaxed.
Good. So from the three persons of the Trinity, who paid for your sins?
Specifically, if you want me to give a one-word answer,
No, I don't want a one-word answer. I never demanded that, did I?
Okay, but the one word is Jesus specifically, but this was brought about by the plan of God. Okay. And in particular, I think of God the Father when I think about that.
No, you said in his humanity.
Yeah, yeah.
So the flesh, which is a created part of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but look.
Let me ask the question, then you answer. So listen to the question first.
I will.
Do you know that the flesh or the human nature of Jesus is created?
Yep.
Okay. Can the created be part of the creator?
Yep.
So you're saying there's no difference between the creator and the creator?
Nope.
I'm not
saying that.
Okay, so once again, do you see a distinction between the creator and the created?
There is a distinction, but it doesn't mean that the Spirit of God, God can do what God, whatever God
wants. I'm not talking about the Spirit of God, I'm talking about the created flesh or the body of Jesus Christ. Do you think that is a part of God?
Yes and no.
I like that.
That's my honest answer.
Some people use the M word, mystery. Some people say yes and no. That's neither a yes or a no, so I need a more specific answer than that.
To be a yes and then becomes a no.
Well, if you want me to unpack my bag, I'd need to pick it up and have a bit of time.
All I'm asking is it part of God or not? It's a simple question.
You have to give someone time to answer.
Fair enough. I didn't ask for a one-word answer or a one-sentence answer.
Yeah.
Take your time to answer, but at least be consistent you have to show the distinction between the creator and the created.
Yeah.
So as a Muslim, I believe that Allah is the only creator and everybody else is created.
Yeah.
So we make a clear distinction between our God and us, the creation. Do you do the same?
Yeah, there's a very clear distinction.
Okay.
Yeah.
So once again, is the creation in any way, shape or form the creator?
As in pantheism.
No, I'm talking about your faith. Forget pantheism.
Say yes and no.
No, but you're not a pantheist, are you?
No.
So why are you appealing to?
I watched Avatar last night.
You watched Avatar last night?
Great film. It was interesting.
All right. I'm glad you didn't watch Matrix. I'm a bit more confused. All right. So once again, is the creation part of the created? Remove Avatar, remove Matrix from your head, everything.
So is the creator?
Focus on your scripture more. Is the creator?
Yeah.
And the creation, distinct or the same?
I'd still probably would say yes and no.
But that's
in order to try to.
You know that shows
half a chance to speak.
That shows you're confused about this.
I'm not, because I've answered clearly yes and no.
No, but that's not an answer. If somebody asks you, wait. If somebody asks you, are you a man or a woman, and you say is a yes and no.
Well, I can answer that with a yes.
Exactly. Yeah. You see, that's an answer.
Well, it's a different question.
I know it's a different question, but if you're not certain, if you're certain about yourself being a man, and you're not certain whether God is creator or created, then I think there's a bigger problem than just you being a man or a woman. You see what I mean?
Well, I think you're just struggling with some things and nuance.
I'm the one struggling. Am I saying yes and no, or he's the one saying yes or no?
Well, I haven't had a chance to explain.
A person who is struggling always says yes or no as an answer.
Well, he then goes on to explain himself.
Please do. So show me how the creator is a created.
Go on. Okay, so yes, there's a distinction between the creator and the created. For example, the creator is eternal, and what is created is not eternal, it's perishable.
Okay.
But God can still choose to inhabit a part of his creation. You know, I can say, well, is there a difference between me and that red car over there? Yes. Can I go inside of it? Yes. Does it make me a car? Yeah. No.
You don't become the car.
I do become inside the car.
No, but you sitting in the car doesn't mean you're the car.
No.
So similarly, if the creator...
But I am inhabiting the car. Okay.
So you're... are you telling me that the created is inhabiting the creator? Wow.
No, the other way around. The creator...
That's even worse.
...became flesh. Why is it bad?
I'll tell you why. Because when the very flesh is created by the creator, right?
Yeah.
And the flesh is perishable.
Yeah.
So which is bigger? Which is more absolute? Which is more, what do you say, perfect? The creator or the created?
The creator.
Okay. Now when the creator became flesh,
yeah,
who is perfect?
Well, he came into flesh. When he became flesh,
yes,
not all of God went into the person of Jesus.
I didn't
say
all of God.
It sounds like you think...
I'm saying the Father is distinct from the Son. I know that already.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, the creator in your scripture of everything is the Father. In fact, do you believe that the Son is generated by the Father?
Well, actually, the Bible says that through Christ all things were made.
Yeah, through, but not by. There's a difference between by and through.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes? So
without him, nothing. This is what is written.
Yes. So Jesus also says, I can of myself do nothing. Yes? Don't forget that one. John 5:30.
Yeah, because he's always in partnership.
Now again, Jesus is saying, I'm dependent on whom?
Yes.
My creator.
Yeah, in his human nature. Yeah.
Okay. So Jesus, so let me ask you this. When you say that, do you believe that Jesus was generated or the Son was generated by the Father?
In the aspect of his flesh.
Not the flesh, himself as a nature, the second person of the Trinity.
Jesus was eternal and is eternal.
He's eternally generated or created.
No, he just was. He said, I am. He preached on that. He said, I am. Before Abraham was, I am, Jesus said. He was killed for that. He was killed for saying that.
Actually, he wasn't killed for that. We know why he was
partly
killed.
He was killed.
The Romans don't care whether he said, I am, or you are, or whatever.
Okay?
The Romans were basically pagans. So for them, the main thing was the security of the place they ruled. Yes? And many people were starting to say that Jesus is the king of the Jews or something like that. Now, this was a direct challenge to the Caesar, and the Romans ultimately, after the Jewish people of that time wanted to take him to be crucified, they ultimately gave in to that. So ultimately the Romans killed him. Now this is
he laid down his life.
So the Romans didn't kill him?
They did, but
he committed suicide, right?
Nope.
Well, you're saying he laid down his life. When somebody lays down their own life, as far as I know, that is considered to be suicide.
Unless they're murdered.
Ah, so which one was it?
He's a martyr.
No, which one was it? Was he murdered as to be a martyr, or did he commit suicide and be a sinner?
Well, these are false alternatives.
What are false alternatives? A suicide. You're the one who said he laid down his life.
Yeah.
So was he killed, or did he lay down his life? Which one is it?
He laid down his life.
Is that a yes or no again?
Well, I'm giving you what scripture says.
Well, do you understand the scripture?
I do, yes.
So tell me, did he lay down his own life, or was he killed by the Romans?
Why are both not possible at once?
There you go, yes and no.
No, honestly, why are both not possible at
because
once?
Because one is, when you take your life, means you are the ultimate, you're ultimately responsible and accountable for your life.
You're giving me false alternatives.
No, I'm not giving you false alternatives. I'm trying to interpret what you said. The term, giving up your life.
Yeah, in the lens of false alternatives.
Okay, what do you understand by the term, laid down my own life? Explain that, go on. I don't want to misrepresent you.
Okay. So Jesus knew people were going to kill him.
Yeah.
And actually, throughout his ministry, you see conspiracies, plots, people want to kill Jesus because they disagree with him, basically, right? He's taking followers away from them. They want to kill Jesus. Multiple times they try to kill him. And he says, it's not yet my time, it's not yet my time, it's not yet my time. Eventually, it is his time. And he knows the people in Jerusalem are going to kill him, but he stops sidestepping them. He gives himself over. He puts up no defense of himself anymore. He does not run anymore. His ministry of teaching and preaching, healing and performing miracles is complete. And he's going to fulfill the main purpose of his mission, which is to die sinless for us, for anyone who would turn to him. As a sacrifice. So he knows he will be killed by these people, and he doesn't put up a fight.
Okay, so he gave himself up.
In that sense, he gives himself up over to murderers.
Right. Which is very different to giving his life up.
Yeah, he didn't, you know, he didn't.
Let's not confuse the two.
He didn't, yeah.
So once again, who killed him?
Well, he was killed on the cross under the Roman authority because of the Jewish religious leader's intervention.
Thank you.
So, under the pressure of the crowd.
So he did not commit suicide, right?
No, he didn't commit
suicide. Good, so we got that cleared up. So he was ultimately killed by humans.
Yeah, he was killed.
By humans.
But he knew what would...
Well, if you want to say he went willingly, that's fine with me, no problem.
Yeah, he went willingly.
Even though he was begging God to save him in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Would you not?
I would if I was only human.
Oh, yeah.
Was Jesus only human?
He was fully human and fully God.
Yet he was.
Trinity.
Yet his prayers got rejected. Thank
why
you.
Why is it a contradiction?
Because his prayers got rejected.
You're a square and you're a circle at the same time. Can that be ever possible?
Okay.
You're a man and you're a woman at the same time. Can that
I'll answer you. I'll answer you.
Okay. That might be questionable. That might be debatable as well.
Yeah.
Because many people consider. Okay, but anyway, let's not go there.
Is a circle a shape?
No, let's not go.
Is
Jamie.
A circle a shape? Can somebody answer me?
Yes.
Is a square a shape as well?
No need to shout.
I thought a circle was a shape.
Yes.
Now you are telling me that a square is also a shape. This is a contradiction. This is your argument.
No, it's not actually. It's not. It's not. There's something called a contradiction. Okay? For example, if I tell you a married bachelor, is that a contradiction? Do you know a married bachelor? What happened?
That doesn't make sense.
You see, there are contradictions which we have to acknowledge. So when a God becomes, when the creator becomes a creation, it's a contradiction. Because a creator is not the creation and the creation is not the creator. Okay? One is dependent on the other. One is contingent on the other.
Yeah.
You cannot say, so when Jesus became a flesh, yes, the word became flesh, did he change in nature? He was only divine.
He took on flesh.
Yeah, which means he added a new nature on him. So now the essence
the
Son has changed from just divine... To divine and human.
The new nature does not replace his old nature.
I didn't say replace, I say it's an addition. Imagine I got only water in this bottle. Yes? Now I use this bottle of water and I want to make tea. Yes? So what I do is, obviously I have to boil the water and so on. Yes? But then I put a tea bag in that. Mm. Now when I have to add a tea bag to H2O, would you still call it just water?
Nope.
What would you call it?
I call it tea.
Thank you.
Would it be water as well?
Yes, it would be. Yeah. I'm not saying the water is removed from there. I'm saying now you would call it tea. Why? Because the essence has changed. Mm-hmm. Something, when I added something to that pure water, it has changed its essence from pure H2O to H2O plus tea.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
That is the reason you do not call it just water anymore. You call it tea. Mm-hmm. Yes? Same thing happened to Jesus. When he was only divine...
Not necessarily.
Well, hear me out.
Hear me out.
I haven't finished.
Okay.
Hear me out. When Jesus was just divine pre-incarnation, yes, then you can say, yes, he was God, fully God. But now you're calling him fully God and fully man. When people saw Jesus... Wait. When people saw Jesus, what did they see? Did they see God or did they see man?
It depends.
Okay, the people who killed him, what did they see?
A man.
Exactly. Why did
that was their problem.
Wait a minute. Why did they, first and foremost, imagine if he was God, would they even dare to arrest him, let alone crucify him? They wouldn't. Because a God Almighty is someone everyone acknowledges is very powerful. You cannot harm anything of that God Almighty. The one who is omnipotent, you cannot harm him.
When Jesus
became a man, what are they looking at? They're looking at a man. That's the reason they are arresting him. That is the reason when Jesus was being stoned, he had to run away and hide. He himself was scared. That's the reason he was bleeding tears of, basically he was bleeding, sweating blood. Yes, in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know what position was he in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying to his God?
On his knees.
Not only on his knees. With his face on the ground.
Okay.
In prostration. Yes, that is the ultimate... humility of a man towards his master, towards his God. Now, hear me out. What I'm saying is that when people were crucifying him, they saw him as a man. And that's the reason they could harm him. And he was harmed. He was, in fact, killed by them. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Because now you have changed nature. So from one nature, now you have two natures. Is one equal to two?
Well, 1 times 1 is 1.
I'm not asking you to multiply it. I'm asking you, is 1 equal to 2?
No.
Thank you. Okay, so basically...
Well, you're doing addition, I'm doing multiplication.
I didn't ask you to add.
I'm doing
a comparison.
I chose to.
By the way, so it's called is a comparison, not even an addition or a subtraction. Simple math, my friend. It's a comparison between two digits. 1 and 2 are not same.
Yeah, but 1 times 1 is 1.
There it goes again. Simple okay. math. You know, they struggle with simple math. I don't know why. It's a comparison. When I'm comparing you to, let's say, a woman,
yeah.
okay, it's a comparison. I'm not asking you how many people are here.
Yeah,
I'm asking you.
Let me try something else. So you're struggling.
No, but let's first understand what I'm trying to get.
I think I've understood.
Okay. So have you understood that there was a change in nature from only one nature now to two natures?
Yes.
Good. Does God change in nature?
In character.
In any way, shape, or form. Does God change in nature?
I'll
give you the passage. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, it says God does not change.
Yeah, I agree with this.
Good. So when he changes from only divine to divine plus human, from only one nature to two natures, that is a clear change in nature.
Like the water.
You see what I mean? Yeah, exactly. Like the water,
yeah, I do
only
see what
and
you mean,
tea.
But respectfully, I think that you're wrong.
Which part is wrong? That he changes nature, or that recognizing him as human nature by the people that killed him? Which one is wrong?
Just because you take on a new nature,
yeah,
doesn't mean your original nature is diminished. If I'm a man...
I never said that, did I?
Did you not?
No, it's a strongman argument.
So
when I say, look, the water still stays water when you make tea.
Yeah.
Yes, there is still water in the tea.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes, I agree.
But the tea, because by adding this new additional compound called tea, then the essence of the water has now changed from just water to tea.
Well,
are you with me?
We call it tea.
Of course you do, because it's not water anymore.
But there's still water in there.
I never said there wasn't.
To shop and ask, can I have water and tea?
No, when you go to the shop and you ask for water, they don't give you tea. Because they know the difference between tea and water. And they will not give you tea without any water in it. Even if it's cold tea.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Yeah, so this is fantastic shopping advice.
It's called logic.
Yeah, yeah. But
it's called simple logic.
Okay, but if you accept this, right?
Yes.
If we call God the water in the metaphor, and then we pour out God, some of God, if you like...
Pour out?
Well, just go with it. It's a metaphor.
Okay.
It's not perfect for all of theology.
All right, go on.
But if we boil the water and we pour it into a cup with a tea bag, then we have tea. Now, why can you not apply the same logic if Jesus is the tea bag and you've got a Jesus cup of tea? Like, I don't see where your problem is.
But why do you call it? The question is, why do you call it tea then?
Well, that's
so if the original
tea,
if the original was just water, and then you added tea to it, why do you not call it water?
The reason is
I've already given you the answer. The reason is because
much.
Now I did actually earlier if you were listening.
No,
the reason is because now you have changed the essence of what was just pure water. When the essence changes, then obviously it's not the same thing.
The reason why we call tea is for simplicity of communication. If we went through life and you said, please, could you make me a cup of boiling water which has been added to a tea bag, and could we put some milk in there? And by the way, the tea that I want to drink is H2O. Then
you'd be wrong.
Then you'd waste a lot of time in your life.
No,
right?
Then you'd be wrong because you're not drinking just H2O. Yeah. You have added milk and you have added...
tea for simplicity of communication.
Jamie, you have just...
So it's not equivalent... So that the metaphor doesn't work.
Actually, the metaphor is very good, but you have actually...
Theology.
You have completely contradicted yourself. You said... This water, you added milk and tea to it. Now you have added...
That's just how I like my tea.
Yeah, exactly. And so do I. But the thing is, when you add something to it, it's no more H2O only.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So you're agreeing with me that the essence has changed from just H2O, which is what I've been telling you all along. So you have contradicted yourself in your own analogy. And you have agreed with me by saying that, yes, the essence has now changed. It has added milk and tea to it.
Yeah.
You've added two additional... compounds, which are not the same as the H2O original.
Yeah.
So the original has now changed in nature and essence.
No.
Well, you can keep shaking your head, but internally you know that I'm right.
No, honestly not.
Okay, which part do you dispute?
What I'm honestly thinking about now is I'd really like a cup of tea.
Good. The shop is over there. Get me one as well, please. Thank you. Just kidding. So, Jamie, what I'm saying is this.
Yeah.
Recognize that the nature has changed from one nature to two natures.
Yeah, that's
this is
fine.
The simplest form. This is the simplest form I can tell you. So one nature is not equal to two natures. And that is the reality that you need to acknowledge.
But
however, the Father,
I don't need to.
However, the Father is still one nature. The Spirit, according to your understanding, is still one nature. The only one who changed the nature is a second person of the Trinity. From one nature, he is now two natures. That's why he's called it the hypostatic union.
He has two natures. A nature is
something that he had.
He had.
He didn't. He still has it. Unless you are one of those Christians who don't believe that Jesus still possesses a human nature for all eternity.
Okay, let's say he has two natures.
Yes.
He's in the body and he's also fully God.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So one nature is not equal to two natures. Hence the Father.
No, he has them.
The
he
Father.
Has them. They're possessions.
Well, I'm not saying his.
Well,
I'm not
he
saying his
them.
Divine nature left him. I've never said that. So there's no point you strawmanning me for that. I'm saying an additional nature was added to him.
No, and he had it. Yeah, he had the additional.
No, he did
nature.
Not. He did not have the human nature pre-incarnation. Yes, no. Am I right? So the nature has changed pre-incarnation to post-incarnation. That is what we are trying to tell you all along. Mm-hmm. Now you need to acknowledge that. And to me, God doesn't change nature. The fact that your God changed nature is a contradiction from your own Bible.
No,
in fact.
A nature is something that you have.
Yes, a nature is something you have. I totally agree. But if you change that nature, then you need to acknowledge that that changed nature is now part of your essence. So when you become
why do I need to acknowledge that?
Because you believe in the hypostatic union.
What's that?
The hypostatic union is a technical term for acknowledging that Jesus has two natures in one person.
Yeah, what's the problem with that?
The problem with that is the Son and the Father are not co-equal in nature. One has two natures. Jesus has two natures. The Father only has one.
Well, they're co-equal in substance.
How are they co-equal in substance? One has extra substance. One has extra substance, human nature.
No,
how many times have you repeat this, my friend?
No, substance does not relate to quantity. So if I have a lot of water in my left hand and I have a little bit of water in my right hand, both are still water.
I'm not telling anything about quantity. I'm talking about the ontology here. The ontological nature of second person of the Trinity has now changed from one nature to two natures. Do you not realize that?
What's the problem?
You probably need a cup of tea, Bradley, to make sense of that. But the problem here is that God doesn't change nature, which you acknowledge already. The fact that your God has now changed his nature is a contradiction to the very ontological understanding of God.
But I don't have a problem with God changing nature. I have a problem with God changing substance or character.
Well, that's a semantics.
I'm not arguing.
When you say substance, do you not mean nature?
No.
What do you mean?
When I say substance, I mean substance.
What does substance mean to you?
Well, like...
What substance are you made of?
Me?
Yeah.
Mostly water.
Mostly water?
Yeah.
Yes, but that's not your nature, right? I wouldn't call Jamie the Hydro Jamie. You see what I mean? Your nature is human. Acknowledge it.
Okay.
Okay?
You're atoms.
Jesus, well, you're more than atoms.
My body is atoms.
Yeah, you're more than atoms because you have your consciousness as well. And consciousness is immaterial. You agree? Consciousness is immaterial, which is not atoms.
I think so.
Yes.
No one knows.
Well, you cannot deny your consciousness. And we know that it's not material, so it has to be immaterial.
But how do we know?
Because no one has observed it under a microscope.
But maybe that little.
No. All right, I'll come to you next. You're atheist. All right. Are you?
Sorry?
Are you an atheist?
An atheist.
Atheist.
Do you believe in God?
Atheist.
What do you believe in?
I believe in God.
Yeah.
I can't say yes or no.
Okay, he's another one with yes or no.
Well, only you can say.
That's the right way.
All right.
Agnostic is fine.
Do you even believe in your existence?
My friend.
Yes.
It's been good.
All right, Jamie.
Bless you.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy
but
it.
As long as you acknowledge these things, you know, try to understand, try to research it if you want. Yes? And inshallah, we'll give you a copy of the Quran. Have an open mind. I know you do. Have an open mind to actually research. So you can ask us questions maybe and come to understanding. Because ultimately, for us, it's the salvation. If we are upon the wrong path, then we have to rectify that before our death.
Yep.
Yes, our life is very short.
Yep.
So it's very important that you understand at least, you know, to narrow down, we know we have thousands, maybe millions of religions out there, and there's no way we can fulfill research of all these religions in our lifetime. So at least focus on what we call the Abrahamic faith, yes, to understand, because the Abrahamic faith believes, acknowledges that God is one. Yes, how they believe this might be different, but we at least focus on a religion which believes that God is one. So that narrows it down. So inshallah, we'll give you a copy of the Quran if you're here. Are you here, going to be here a while?
Yeah, I'm just going to find my buddy, grab a drink, and yeah, I'll be around.
No problem.
It's been great. Cup of tea, yeah? Cup of tea, water,
yes.
Tea bag.
Sacrifice, he says.
Sorry?
What kind of sacrifice? Only 2 days and you came back. That's not sacrifice.
Yeah, we'll probably leave that for next time. Right. I think it's time.
What's your name?
Hashim.
Hashim, yeah.
Very nice meeting you. Thanks for your time. Yes. All right. So, Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm a Muslim, yes. And you are?
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Vegard and I'm a Norwegian Muslim convert. I cannot express how grateful I am for Allah to have guided me to Islam. In my country, there are no Islamic schools or dawah centers that fully operate in my language. A lot of the Islamic programs here are in Urdu, Arabic and Somali, and I don't understand these languages. We new Muslims need a place where we really can learn Islam. Alhamdulillah, Allah guided me to the dawah organization IslamNet, who helped me stay firm in my religion. We are now raising funds to establish a Norwegian masjid and dawah center that will educate our people about Islam in the Norwegian language. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Whoever builds a masjid for Allah, Allah will build for him a similar house in Jannah." If you take part in this project, you will inshallah be rewarded for all the new Muslims who learn about Islam and all of the Muslims who learn to give dawah, and every single person who accepts Islam through this center. This will inshallah be an endless ongoing charity for you. And let's not forget, Allah will inshallah build for you a palace in Jannah. As a Norwegian Muslim, Norway is my country, and dawah to these people is my responsibility. And you are my family. Please donate for the sake of Allah and build for yourself a house in Jannah. And whatever you give, Allah will give you more in return. And please click on the share button so you can get the reward of everyone who follows you in donating for this masjid. May Allah reward you.